you can then align yourself with someone who has a really strong track record, and that can help too. So when you have a website and you can send people there, it creates credibility. And time after time, I've had brokers, lenders, and investors mention my website.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to show episode 100. I honestly can't believe that this is the 100th episode. From starting off about a year ago now, I mean, now we're 100 episodes in. I never saw myself ever having a podcast, but now I'm grateful I did it. I've got to share my story. So now I have documenting my journey, so I can always go back to that and see how I was and what I was doing at a certain time, which that I'm truly grateful for. But what I'm really grateful for is just to, one, connect with other people, whether that be the guests that come on or you, the listeners. I've had several listeners reach out to me, and that's just truly amazing. Like, and just being able to provide value to others, that's what really keeps me going, which I hope I am. And as you all know, the fee for this show is just share the show. If you got value out of this and you know someone else that could also get value from any show, just share it with them. I have had others who've shared other shows to me in the past, other podcasts that have changed my career trajectory and my life, honestly. And I'm forever grateful for those people that shared that with me. So yeah, share the show if you know someone else who could get some value out of it. And then if you haven't done so, please leave a rating and review. I would be forever grateful for that. That's how we get in front of more eyes and ears and get to share the message. But first and foremost, I want to thank the listeners, you all, for, you know, tuning in. For those of you that have been from show one to now show 100, and to those of you that we've picked up along the way, it means a lot to see these numbers grow week in and week out of downloads. It just means a lot. I never thought it would grow like this. So thank you. And today's episode is another solo. I figured out for show 100, I would just share kind of five things that have worked for me starting a multifamily investing firm, and five things that have not, that I wish, you know, things I would have done differently. And 100 episodes in, I think this is a great time to share that. So without further ado, let's just get into it. All right. So five things I did right. Number one, simply, I took action. I feel a lot of people, and I've even, you know, been guilty of this, is the whole analysis paralysis thing. You think you've got to perfect something before you do it and know everything about it. And first starting out, I had a little bit of that. And then I just realized after listening to podcasts and seeing others do it, I'm like, I can do this. Just do it. And that's what I did. I immediately took action from first consuming content and then going to meetups and just putting myself in a position, making offers, meeting with brokers, meeting with lenders, just getting out of my comfort zone. And that action has led to so much growth. They say growth happens when you step outside of your comfort zone. I could not agree. Everyone should be making themselves uncomfortable every single day, at least one type of action every day. You should be feeling uncomfortable because that's where the growth comes from. First thing I did right was taking action. You just got to do it. It's never going to be perfect. You're never going to know everything. I know I'm constantly learning new things every day in this business. And I know I will constantly learn new things every day and every year going forward. You know, that's what's awesome about this is you can never know enough. It's a changing market. So things will always change. Even when you think you may know everything, it's just going to change on you. And that's one thing I love about this business is that you're never going to get bored of it because things are constantly changing. There's always something new to learn. So take action. That's one of my biggest pieces of advice is take action. And that leads into number two of the things I did right. And that's networking and building relationships. So I took action to do this. And so network, I went to meetups, conferences, masterminds, other type of networking referral groups that are not just real estate centric. You know, I would reach out to lenders, reach out to brokers, just truly trying to build my network. As people say, and as I say a lot, your network is your net worth. And there isn't a thing that's furthest from the truth. It's just so true that who you surround yourself with is going to create who you are. Average of the five people you spend the most time with It's so true. So surround yourself with quality people that are doing what you want to do. And it's important to have a good deal of them, if not all of them, like above you, right? So you can keep climbing the proverbial rung to try to get up there, right? The proverbial ladder to get up there with them. This is really important, building relationships. You should not go about this in a transactional matter, just using people to get to a certain means, certain end. That's not what you want to do. You want to build lasting relationships that benefit both parties, because the whole giver's gain, you know, the law of reciprocity, when you give out, you get back tenfold. And obviously that's not why you do it, but that's just how it works. So you got to give, you got to come from a place of providing value and offering service, and it's going to come back. So it's really important to build relationships in this business. And I have a great 3-part series. If you have not heard of it, or even if you have, just go back and listen to it on specifically on the broker side of things, how to build these relationships. It's episode 50, 52, and 54. But I can't emphasize this enough, truly building relationships that both parties want to see each other lead. It's not transactional. It's not just, oh, I'm going to close on this deal. I'm going to get a deal. So that's great for me. And then you're going to get a commission, Mr. Broker and Mr. Lender. So that's great for you. No, it's like truly building relationships. So not only do you win, but they want to see you win. And then in turn, you want to see them win. So you pass on referrals to one another. It's the lender did a great job for you. And yeah, he got paid, or the broker did a great job selling a property. And yeah, he or she got paid, but they did such a good job and you have such a good relationship with them that when you come across anyone else that needs that type of service, you're automatically referring it to them. And then because you do that, that broker, that lender thinks of you every time a situation comes up. If there's a property that comes up that fits your buy box, they're sent it to you automatically. Anytime you submit an offer that's competitive, they're going to go to bat for you. Even if it's not highest and best offer, they're going to go to bat for you saying, Sean does what he say he does, closes. And he's just an easy, great person to work with. And they just go to bat for you. So it's all about building relationships in this business. And I cannot emphasize that enough. And that's one thing that's really driven a lot of success for me. It's not even just on the broker and lender side. It's going to these conferences and these masterminds, building relationships with other investors. Because one, you could partner with them in the future. Or two, you could just learn something from them that maybe they've gone through that they can impart on you that could really help you grow your business, or even just steer your business away from making a mistake. And I get a lot of growth out of masterminds specifically and conferences as well. You just meet a lot of cool people doing the same thing. And one thing I've realized about the real estate industry, specifically the investment side, is that everyone wants to see everyone else win. There's a lot of people out there that come from a mindset of abundance. Like, by you having success is not going to hamper my success. There's enough out there. And that's what's really cool. Obviously, you're not going to always run into that, but by and large, you see that. And that's what I love about this industry. All right. I'm not going to keep harping on that, but networking and building relationships is extremely important. All right. Number three, the things I did right is consistency and discipline. Just like in any business or anything you do in life, you don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the most talented. You just need to put in consistent, disciplined work time after time after time. It's about the small steps. It's not about the big step. It's doing the little things right every time. It's about figuring out what step right now will have the most impact on me getting to my goal. And then you do that. And you do it again and again and again. And the best way that we've had success doing this is just setting up processes that we follow and then tracking it, making sure we're doing this consistently and holding each other accountable to what we're supposed to do day in and day out. It's like this podcast, for instance. I have 2 episodes every week, a Multifamily Monday episode and a Finance Friday episode. And I have put out 2 episodes every single week since I have started. Now, there was times, of course, where I was extremely busy and I could have just been like, you know what? It's not going to matter if I miss a week. But yeah, it does. It's how you do the little things is how you do everything. It's about consistency and meeting people's expectations. So I've set an expectation right there that I will have 2 episodes a week, one on multifamily investing specifically and one on personal finance. So I need to uphold that every single week, hold myself accountable because I told you I would. And that's what's really helped me is just being consistent and disciplined. When you do something you told yourself you would do, when you keep that promise you made to yourself, it instills confidence in yourself and others can feel that. And 2, on top of it, when you say you're going to do something, that comes back to your integrity. And that means a lot to people, even if it's something small. So consistency and discipline. So if you say you're going to underwrite 5 deals a week, you better underwrite 5 deals a week. If you say you're going to submit 1 offer a week, you better submit 1 offer a week. Are you going to win them all? Heck no. But you're going to have a way better chance of getting one accepted if you do it 1 every week versus sporadically. I did 1 a week this month, but next month I didn't do any. And the month after that, I did 3. But then now I'm back at it doing 1 a week. You're going to have a way better chance if you just consistently do things. And that's what success comes from, is consistency, hard work and consistency. All right. Number 4, something that helped me is having a place to send people. Because when you have a real estate investment firm, when you're starting out, you definitely don't have like an office. So there's no storefront like a traditional business, right? So where do you send people? You meet them somewhere, you know, you exchange contact information, but where do you send them? And the one place you can send them is a website, right? You could do social media as well. Even there, they're going to want to get more. They're going to have to go somewhere. So a website. Now, I know a lot of people argue, and I've heard it, and there's an extent agree with it too. And that's, they say, you don't need a website. You don't need a business card. Just get out there and take action. Yes. However, it depends what your goals are and what you're pursuing. Now, if you're doing like, you know, smaller multis, 2 to maybe like 50, yeah, you definitely don't need a website, right? Especially if you're behind like 2 to 20. Even 2 to 50, you're not going to need it, right? Because you can find a lot of those off market or just your normal residential agent. And it's a lot of mom and pops that are selling them. So you don't really need that type of credibility. And to take down those size deals, you don't need as a big investor pool. Sometimes you don't even need any investors because you can do a lot more in terms of financing, different financing strategies, creative financing to take that size deal down. It's a lot easier to do creative financing with a smaller deal than it is a large deal. So sometimes you don't even need money out of your own pocket, right? Especially if you buy right. But when you do bigger deals, I've seen it create a lot of credibility when you have a good looking website to send people. And as I've mentioned before, another thing that has helped me, and this goes back to that whole networking thing and building relationships, is you can then align yourself with someone who has a really strong track record, right? And that can help too. So when you have a website and you can send people there, it creates credibility. And time after time, I've had brokers, lenders, and investors mention my website to me. I know the first deal I ever did, like first large multifamily deal I ever did, the broker referenced a previous deal that was on our website. And that created a lot of credibility for us to them. That was important to them. And if I hadn't had the website, they might not have taken my offer seriously, and they might not have pushed us to best and final. Or even if they did push us to best and final, they might have not even taken us serious there. So to me, having a place to send them is really important. And when it comes to investors, you also want a place to send them. Yeah, you can send them your social media, but in terms of getting their contact information, it's hard to do that in social, right? You need to send them somewhere where they can put it in, whether that be downloading a newsletter, a lead magnet, or simply just registering on your investor portal. So to me, that's important if you're going to do, if you're aiming to do big multi-deals right out of the gate. And even if you're not, if you just have a website when you're doing smaller deals, just a place to, you know, kind of build your resume on there. People can kind of see it over time. That's not something you would need right out of the gate, but I think it's something you should start, you know, pretty soon on. Number 5 is, this kind of goes hand in hand with the last one, is just have a presence. Podcasts, social media, going to conferences and meetups, just be really present so people know who you are and you stay top of mind. That's been huge. To me, it's led to referrals, to connections. And then again, it goes back to just credibility, but have a presence. And I've seen others do this a lot better than me. And I've seen their career trajectory just explode because of it. It's just about, people say it's who you know. But in my opinion, it's who knows you. It doesn't matter if you know them. Do they know you? Are you top of mind when they're thinking of real estate investing? Thinking of, I'm a broker and I got a property to sell. It's 150 units, B class. 80s build, value add play. Oh, that's Sean. That's what he harps on all the time. I'll send it to him. Or someone comes up to you and says, oh, I'm looking to invest in value add multifamily. Oh, I got a guy for you. I got this guy, Sean. I'll introduce you. So it's not who you know, but it's who knows you. Having a presence really makes this possible. Like, I have people reach out to me because they listen to my podcast. They see me on social media. They see me at conferences. Whatever it happens to be, it's like you don't even realize that it's happening in the moment. But after the fact, when they reach out to you, they only reach out to you because you have that presence there. And I wouldn't have made the connections I made without that. So that is something I also did right. And I would urge any of you, if you have not started that, to start it. Yeah. And it's, I'm not gonna lie, it's weird at first. It doesn't feel natural. At least for me, it didn't. And I'm sure for a lot of people it doesn't, but it really does help. And it feels more natural over time. Not that it feels 100% natural, but it does feel more natural over time. And the benefits just outweigh that weird feeling. Trust me. All right. Now on to the five things I did wrong and could have done a lot better. Number one, submit more offers. I think this came down to sometimes I have a little bit of perfectionism in me where I need everything to be perfect and aligned before I do it. And luckily, to my point, and five things I did right, took action. Luckily, I didn't let that slow me down from start. But sometimes I still do, is even with this podcast, right? I could have started this thing a year earlier. I had been thinking about starting it and I just took a long time to kind of do the research on how to start one, how to build one, the back end stuff, artwork, logo, all that stuff, right? And it took way too long. I was just trying to perfect it and I didn't need to. But submitting more offers, I wish I had submitted more offers out of the gate because it's a numbers game, right? Now, I'm not saying just submit offers on anything and everything. It's still got to meet your buy box and it's still got to be something that you would want to own, right? Now, again, own at a certain price, right? But I wish I had submitted more offers. I would see pricing guidance and I'd be like, oh, we're not close, and wouldn't submit. But one, it goes back to my point of having a presence, right? So I was great at having a presence on certain things at the beginning, but not on others. And if you're consistently submitting offers. Now, I'm not saying consistently submit absurd offers where then they're not going to take you seriously, but consistently submit offers that are in the relative ballpark. And what that does is that's just going to keep you top of mind. Like, this person's active. This person wants a deal. They're hungry. They're letting me know what works for them, what doesn't. And again, it's a numbers game. So if you submit 1,000 offers in 1 year, that's a lot. Let's say 200 offers in 1 year versus someone who submits 10. Now, who's more likely to get one accepted? Assuming not like all 200 are way out of the ballpark. One of the 200 is more likely going to get a deal because it's a numbers game. And also, if you're submitting all these deals and you're putting in all this work, they appreciate that. And sometimes they're just going to throw you a bone. So I wish I had submitted more offers out of the gate. Now we're doing that more now. We're just submitting offers. If it works at us for a certain number, even if it's not exactly a pricing guidance, we're going to submit and be like, hey, this is our offer that works for us and blah, blah, blah. Sometimes they'll like maybe negotiate with you a little bit or move you along. And sometimes they say, hey, that's not really going to get the ball rolling in terms of moving this conversation along. Hey, and that's what it is. What happens if they accept someone else's offer and then it just doesn't work out, right? And they remember you. They know you can perform. They know it might not have been the highest and best offer, but they remember you and they go back to you. Hey, would you be interested in this deal? If you didn't submit the offer initially, you never would have had the chance to be in that circumstance. So submit more offers. All right. Number two of things I did wrong. I did not have my lead magnet and kind of marketing campaign set up right out of the gate. And I wish I had. Again, it went back to kind of that perfectionism thing. Like, yeah, I took the action, but I wanted it to be perfect before I did it. And I should have just started, right? Create a lead magnet. You can always move that one out and put a new one in. Marketing campaign. Yeah, you get all these. I sent all these people to my website. They downloaded my original lead magnet, which I did have one out of the gate. It just wasn't, it was more of an overview of who we are and what we do, not necessarily something more enticing in my opinion. But I brought them in and I had a few emails out of the gate, but I didn't have a consistent updated email marketing campaign. And again, that's a constant theme, is having a presence, staying top of mind. So I wish I had that right out of the gate. I would have been able to probably grow my investor list a lot faster. All right, number three. Need to over communicate with property management, especially right when you're taking over a property. And we did not do this during our first few acquisitions. Don't get me wrong, we still had communication, we were present, but I wish we had just over communicated to the point where we were annoying, right? Just finding clarity on every single thing that was said and every plan that was going to be implemented. Just getting over clarification, having everyone over communicate so we're all on the same page. It happens all the time in any business you do, that people just make assumptions. They assume you're all on the same page. They assume what you said, you know, was understood in the way you wanted it to be. And that's just not the case. So you need to over communicate, especially when you're taking over a new property. You need to know, all right, what is the business plan? This is a value add strategy. Okay. How many units do we want to turn a month? Do we want to just every time a lease comes up to non-renew, or do we want to renew a portion of them? Do we want to focus solely on outside of the property, the exterior and then move into the interior, or do we want to kind of blend it in together? And this is really important. Do we know which units we're going to turn next? What level of turn are we going to do? These are all things that you want to over communicate on it. And what's really worked for us is we have a spreadsheet on Google Drive where we have every single unit, when the lease is going to end, what the plan for is of that unit. So if it's, say, it's just a classic turn, you know, just clean, new paint, maybe a few flooring touches up here and there, then we have that scheduled. If it's a full renovation, full turn of the unit, then we plan out when the demo is going to happen, when the flooring is going to happen, cabinets, paint, so on and so forth. And we have it all scheduled out to when the installation is complete, when we go for the final clean, and then when the final check is, and then when we can lease. And that's really important to see that all in a spreadsheet. So then the property manager knows, okay, I'm going to have these units available so I can place these prospective tenants. And instead of them just making a decision, you need to make sure everyone's on the same page and not just say, hey, this is our game plan. We want to turn 75% of the units. You need to over communicate and have a strategic game plan in place that you need to make sure everyone is on the same page with. So I cannot stress this enough. Over communicate right out of the gate, specifically with property management, both the company and on-site staff. Very important. Number four. Yeah, I have a podcast. Yeah, I do some social media, but I didn't start it soon enough. I should have done it right out of the gate. As I mentioned earlier, could have started the podcast a year earlier, and I just see the positives out of it and the growth. Just start. And this goes to number five. This leads perfectly into this, and that is version one is better than version none. And this is probably the thing I did wrong right out of the gate on a multitude of levels. And I see other people suffer the same thing, is that we think we need to, one, know everything and have the perfect solution before we start, perfect version before we start. No, you just need to start. Version one is better than version none. Trust me. I was going to start a podcast along the same time as a few other people that I network and mastermind with. And a couple of them did start right out of the gate. And I waited a year because I wanted to perfect everything. And I can tell you their growth, they're so much further ahead of me because they just started before me. And they do have great content, but it doesn't mean theirs is not like better than mine. It's just they started before. So version one is better than version none. And that's in anything you do. You could probably sense a theme in this episode. You know, I didn't have my lead magnet and marketing campaign out of the gate. Didn't have social media and podcast presence out of the gate. Version one is better than version none. All right, everybody. I hope you got some value out of this. I just wanted to share five things I did right out of the gate and five things I did not. And I hope you all can take that if you're starting or even if you're already there and need to perfect some things. There's a lot of things I could have done better. But the fact of the matter is, I took action. So if I didn't take, of course, it wasn't perfect along the way, but that's what you learn. If I hadn't taken action, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so I'm happy I did that. Yes, I could have done things better, but that's what's fun about this. Is there's always progress to be made. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. As always, episode 100. Can't believe it. Thank you for those that have been listening and watching all this time. And thanks for those that have joined along the way. It really means a lot. And as always, if we want to build lives of our dreams, just remember, easy doesn't pay well. And instant gratification is self-destructive. So always remember, it's not just working hard for your money, but having your money work hard for you. So you can create that life of your dreams and provide for the ones you love. All right, everybody. I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.